On today's episode, I talk with Helen Sachs, CEO and creative director at Striking Media, a production company focused on creating visual content that makes a difference for corporate clients, nonprofits, and schools. Helen shares her journey from producing the UK's award-winning daily live show called This Morning to running her own production company. I was inspired by both Helen's proactive approach to philanthropy and her tenacity in building a business here after moving her family from Southwest France in 2016. I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Well, hello, Helen. Welcome to the M Word.
Hi, Jennifer. Lovely to be here.
I am so excited to have this conversation because I feel like you and I have crossed paths. We've walked parallel paths. We've had similar clients. We've tripped over each other at different client things. And I have such a great respect for the work that you produce that I am excited to bring your story to our listeners. So, Helen, to start, like, tell us who you are and what is Striking Media?
Who am I? I am Helen Sachs. Striking Media is my third baby, perhaps. Came about somewhat unexpectedly out of COVID and really has grown into something that I never really imagined it would or could. And that is thanks to the work we've produced and the community that I live in, that I'm so lucky to be a part of this dynamic and engaged community that want to tell their story, that do this incredible work, that give us a platform to shine a spotlight on all that they do. So this couldn't have happened to me in my previous life. Before being in this DC area, I was in the south of France. And while there were many beautiful things about 11 years spent in the south of France, entrepreneurialism was much more challenging there. People did not have that outward mindset of how do I tell my story. So I feel very lucky at this point in my life to have these career challenges, which I just love and adore and thrive on. So yeah, Striking was born out of the pandemic and the need for people to communicate and tell their story when they couldn't get in front of people. And as I say, over the past kind of 3+ years now, it's just growing and evolving in ways I couldn't have imagined.
What are some of the ways that's perhaps surprised you, like the growth of your firm?
I think the diversification of the projects. You know, we started off probably 80-20% nonprofit heavy. And I love the nonprofit arena, but I also love diversity in the work that we're getting. So, for example, we've just done a big green screen project where we were creating a virtual world based on the BBC's output from the Olympics. Very technical, very different, and aimed at a young male audience, which is, you know, very different from my nonprofit clients. We've started to get taken on executive trips. So if some of our corporate clients are taking their teams to Cancun, Punta Cana, Santa Monica, they want to take a videography crew to tell their story. So while that sounds glamorous, it's actually also an intense window of time because you're only there for 48 hours or 36, 48 hours. And you've got to make the most of your window of time there to create as much content as you can for your clients so that they feel justified in taking you. So there are opportunities that I never foresaw in the beginning, but I think they make us better storytellers, better producers, because we're being kept on our toes all the time. And I love that.
Does it lead to burnout though? Like that, you know, being on, you know, in front of a client and having to produce like in real time, it sounds like.
I don't think so, because it's so short. I think you run on adrenaline. You know, I did a lot of my early days production work on a live TV show. So you have one chance to get it right. You're in front of the nation. It was like Good Morning America. So if you mess up, literally, it gets viewed by millions. So you can't afford to mess up. So you're only
really... Did you mess up there?
Well, I'm sure there were messes up, but nothing that I really remember these days. I mean, I remember moody presenters throwing scripts across the studio because something wasn't, you know, correct in the script or whatever. But, you know, I think that reflects more on them, quite honestly. I mean, it was a wonderful training ground because, you know, come 12:30 on each weekday, the show was finished. your audience had moved on, and so did you. You moved to the next show. It was finished. It was done. So you had to be on your A game all the time. And honestly, I don't think anything will ever be as terrifying, exhilarating, thrilling as that experience. So I'm pretty unfazed these days about whatever gets thrown at me.
That's fantastic. It's like if you're not going to be afraid, in a way, entrepreneurship is like, there's sky's the limit, right? Isn't fear what holds us back from
totally
the next opportunity or the next risk?
And I think also as a woman, as a mother, I set these perimeters that said I have to find a job that I can leave at 3 p.m. to pick up my kids from school, and I need to be there, you know, every day after 3 p.m. basically. But when you start to stretch those perimeters, and as your family grows and gets a little older and a little more independent, you realize you can do so much more. And, you know, we spoke a little bit about community, but, you know, you have your little village in your life as well, your friends that help you, your people around you that help to make things possible. And that also is empowering. The whole experience, I think, of entrepreneurialism is empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to ask this because you opened the door. You talked about, and I'm not sure I love this phrase, lifestyle business. I feel like it's sort of, it almost like knocks down a peg the legitimacy of a business, because you are designing it in a way that fits your life. Although nowadays, like, I feel like the workforce has changed to where, like, you know, private life is the leading indicator. But since you did bring it up, what do you have an opinion on the idea of calling yourself entrepreneur or female entrepreneur? Does that ring any bells either way for you?
I'm really proud to be a female entrepreneur. And I think female definitely deserves to be in that sentence, because, you know, not knocking the men folk, but they do tend to go to work and then come home from work and separate their two lives. I'm the one that gets called when, you know, somebody's forgotten their school lunch, or someone needs to come home because they're sick, or all the juggling that comes with being a mother, which, you know, I wouldn't change for anything in the whole world. But it is a lot. It is a lot to be a female entrepreneur and juggle family life and my work and everything else that happens. And sometimes I think it's a miracle that I've got this far, because I'm stretched in so many different directions. And I have a very, very supportive family, but they all need things from you all the time. So I very often do not do a standard hour day, or I'm making it up in the evening or on the weekend or in between times, you know, sitting at the pool when the kids are swimming, doing a proposal, because I have a window of time and I'm going to make the most of every minute. So it is a challenge and it is a juggle. And I'm really proud that I'm achieving in that environment.
What has been your biggest success so far in this journey of entrepreneurialism?
I have a very clear answer to that question. I tell my clients all the time, my nonprofit clients, when you share stories that are meaningful, it gets reactions. There is no question. And I was lucky enough through the Community Foundation for Northern Virginia to tell the story of a lady who had experienced sexual abuse as a child for an organization called Safe Spot in Leesburg, which provided a safe place for children to tell their stories of sexual abuse. So they only had to tell that story once, which meant that more people were being prosecuted and being held accountable for their actions. And when you look at the statistics around sexual abuse, it's just unbelievable. You can't believe this happens to that level in our community. This lady who was on the board of Safe Spot shared her story, came to the Community Foundation Gala, was in the room with, you know, 500 or so people when her story was told on the big screen. And my heart was with her. She'd chosen not to watch the video prior to that moment, so she was seeing it for the first time. And afterwards, I went and spoke to her. It was very moving. You could have heard a pin drop in the room when she was telling her story. The lady in front of me was crying. I always watch people watching my videos when they play. I don't watch the video because I know it so well. And afterwards, I went over to her and I said, you know, that was incredible. Everyone was so engaged in your story. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it with me. And this man came between us quite abruptly, no idea who I was. And he said, that video was incredible. He was talking to her, because of you, I've just donated $15,000.
Oh my God.
And that's exactly what we'd been talking about in the run-up to her sharing her story, that your bravery will make a difference. People will give because you're so brave in telling your story. And it came to fruition in front of our eyes. And that made me so proud to play a little part in helping this organization to be successful that I just won't ever forget it, quite honestly. It was a very important moment to me.
That's incredible. I mean, so how, you know, that powerful storytelling, you know, how much of this is good storyboarding, and how much of it's videography, how much is it is, you know, post-editing? Like, is there a secret sauce that comes into, you know, obviously a very effective, powerful story that did its job for that particular client? You know, I guess it asked another way. It's like, what is Striking Media's secret sauce, or what makes you not my iPhone for purposes of producing that story?
I mean, it's a really tough question that I don't have a concise answer to. It's a mixture of lots of different elements. I would say, if pushed, the secret source of Striking Media is the thoughtfulness with which we approach every project. There is no copy paste. Everyone is different. Every story deserves to be told differently. I spend a lot of time thinking about my stories, thinking about my characters, thinking about how to get the best content from them, and then how to show the stories. You can't just tell the story. It's not copy. You've got to show it. And there's lots of different ways of showing a story. And we're always looking at, what are other people doing? You know, where do we get inspiration from? What do we like or dislike in content that already exists? I'm always looking to be inspired in the stories that I'm telling, and the stories that I'm kind of in the way that I push out the stories. You know, I'm always looking at, what can I do that's different? What will resonate? Super important. What is the audience? You've got my dog in.
Gotta love the dog.
She's going to chase the light, so she might actually be annoying, in which case I'll get rid of her. I'll put her outside. But no, it's not any one thing. It is a mixture of the storytelling, narrative, and the visuals, and the way it's all packaged together. It's a very delicate balance. One thing that I'm very mindful of is to try and build trust with my contributors, the grantees whose stories we're telling. I need them to trust me. I need them to know I care. I need them to know that I'm not here to put anything in this video that they don't want in there. There would never be any exploitative element of any storytelling I ever do. I always say to my interviewees, if you're not comfortable with a question I ask you, if you don't like an answer you've given and you tell me not to use it, this is your story, and we will only tell it in a way that makes you comfortable. And I think that's really important, to give them that right to veto something. Mm-hmm. They're sharing very personal things with me that often don't get told ever outside maybe a therapist or a best friend. So I have to be very respectful of that.
Of course. Well, conversely, you know, you said you do corporate work, which has got to, it's vastly different, right? I think working with nonprofits, and, you know, I do quite a bit of that work too. The people who represent nonprofits are so mission driven. They're so passionate. They're soul bearing in pursuit of the organization's mission. The corporate side, you know, you can end up with their staff, employees, customers, like a whole hodgepodge of folks who, you know, it's a different motivation for that type of storytelling. Do you find that harder to work with than, you know, sort of the more mission driven stories?
At times it can be more challenging, because you've got to find your angle. And an example I can give you is, I got an accountancy firm, auditing firm client who came to me, and they wanted to replace their 4, 5, 6 minute video that was sitting on their website and was really quite not terribly interesting. And, you know, they wanted to talk about all the different services that they offered. And as we were doing our planning meetings, I said to them, you know, every auditing company in the DMV offers these services. What makes you different? And then it turned out that the CEO was like a marathon man. He was a ultra athlete. And the way he approached his business life was the same way he approached his sport. He was up early. He was very disciplined. He controlled what he ate. He, in his working life, he liked to have meetings at a certain time. He had this whole way of working professionally that mirrored his sporting life. And it was so interesting, ultimately, to tell the story of who he was as a person and why he cared so much about his company in the light of his sporting prowess, which brought a human element to the story, mm-hmm. rather than just, we will do your taxes and we will do this and we will do this. And it really energized the story. So it can be more of a challenge, but the challenge is fun, quite honestly. That's on me. I've got to find the nugget. I've got to find the gem. And I'll dig until I get it.
Right. Do most people come to you knowing the story they want to tell, or they just know they need this output, and then your job is to uncover what the...
Yeah, they don't know normally. They just know they need a video that will create engagement. But I'm a real planner, and it's very important to me to make sure we allocate time to pre-production meetings, to making sure that we have the time to work out what is this narrative and how do we tell it in 1 minute or 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it's going to be. What is the key essential messaging that we want to get out? So making sure that we do that pre-production work guarantees the end result.
The human side of this, for you, the entrepreneur, the lead creator here, like, what matters the most to you at the end of the day? You have your own business. You know, what is the core of what makes this meaningful for you?
I think there's lots of things. I mean, happy clients are everything. Thankfully, I've never had anyone come back and not been happy. Generally, my clients, they come back each year for another project and they refer me on to people they know, which is a huge, huge kind of feather in my bow. I'm very proud to have that repeat business and referrals. So that matters hugely. My Google My Business reviews that are excellent fill me with pride and make me glow. And they're not just a reflection on me. They're absolutely a reflection of the whole team. So that's hugely important. But I also strive very hard to have a business that fits in around my needs, you know, that does allow me to travel in the summer, go home and see my family, and take the work with me in a way that is manageable. So, you know, we do a lot of filming pre-summer, and then we're generally in edit mode while I'm away so I can work remotely. And I, you know, now at this stage of Striking Media, you know, I have teams that can go out if I'm not here. So we continue to produce. But having a business model that allows me to get home and see my family is also important to me.
So what's been the hard parts? Like, where's the bump in the road or the ceiling or the left turn that you've had to make?
I think every job is completely different. I've never, ever had two jobs that are exactly the same. And I think we've had, in the very beginning, when people were scrambling to figure out, how do we communicate through COVID? How do we get in front of our audiences without being in person? People pivoted very quickly to, instead of, you know, a video for their fundraising gala, they want to have the full service, completely virtual gala, which is like a live TV show, which we are creating mm-hmm. for them. You know, we did one particular event, which was multi-camera, very, very complex. I think there were three presenters, moving parts, video element, live elements, throwing to remote contributors. I think in retrospect, it was a little ambitious. We rehearsed over and over because, as I say, you know, I don't leave things to chance, let alone a live show like that. But on the day when we were live, we had feedback on our mics and they started to screech at us. So our presenters were presenting and all you could hear was this high-pitched screech. And the people that were streaming it, who I was on talkback with in my ear, were saying to me, you got to get everybody in the surrounding area to switch off their cell phones because cell phone interference is adding to this feedback. So I'm trying to direct the action And then I have to like run around in a panic saying to everyone, turn your phones off, turn your phone off. And, you know, there were certain people there that needed their phone for the production. And it was all kind of that heat of the moment craziness that we had to get over that hump to move forward. And it was a short window of time, but it was something that haunted me because, you know, you feel like you're letting down your client when something like that happens because it's not perfect. And, you know, you want it to be perfect every time. So that was something that I definitely learned from and grew from. And it didn't feel good, but, you know, it wasn't a train wreck and everybody survived. So, you know, it was okay.
So would you say you handle sort of these bumps or these, you know, hiccups? Is it easy for you, or do those things sort of make you, you know, some entrepreneurs are just so type A that like anything that is unexpected becomes too emotional, or
I take it very seriously. Yeah. And I'm a big debriefer. So on every project I debrief, what did we do well? What could we improve upon next time? But I also have enough life experience to know that nobody's dying. Nobody's, you know, it's not the end of the world. We all have learning experiences. And, you know, if you need to move forward in a different direction as a result of something you've learned, then that's positive. You're learning and growing with every project you ever do. But I'm not going to become so wound up about it that I'm not going to ever work for someone again.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it would ever warrant that. I think I am pretty good at keeping things in perspective.
Yeah. I always say, you know, all these things, learn mistakes is learning, it's growth. I just, as long as I'm, you know, you don't make the same mistake that's repeatable, right. You want to prevent that. But I do say there are days today I don't want to have to learn anything. Let today be a learning free day.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You need some easy days in there. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, it's smooth sailing. You know, there's not too many hiccups in the road. I feel like I've got, I don't mean for this to sound arrogant, but I feel like I've learned a lot up to this point. You know, this is like 25 years of production experience, starting at the BBC with independent production companies in London. I've done live shows. I've done big Saturday night entertainment shows. I've done, you know, daytime live shows. I've worked with big personalities. I've done a lot. So I feel like the world I'm operating in right now, I can manage. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't freak me out. I love the challenge of always trying to be better.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's great advice too, to, you know, if that's the focus is on just being better and not dwelling on, you know,
always
what didn't work. So one thing I wanted to explore with you, Helen, because I know you do a lot pro bono. You know, this is not an advertisement for everyone to call Helen pro bono, but, so because there is that pressure. So how do you fit that in as a small business? How do you fit that in when you're also in the business of selling to causes who, you know, pay good money? So do you have a philosophy or a framework for choosing your community partnerships?
I think I just have an emotional head, Jennifer. I do sometimes give more than I plan to, but that's 100% on me. When I set up the business, I knew that I wanted to give back to certain causes and I wanted to use the platform I had and the medias, the technology that I have to tell certain stories. One was always going to be breast cancer because it's a story close to my heart. So I have engaged with a breast cancer charity and I do pro bono work for them. And one is the animal world. I'm a huge dog lover and, you know, I couldn't possibly take money from an animal shelter. It just wouldn't work for me. So those were the causes that I initially engaged in. But of course, you know, as a compassionate human being, you hear things along the way that move you and you're stirred to action. And one of those examples was in hearing Fraser Murdoch from Bridges talk about the need for the shelter that supports the women and children who don't have a home to live in, often because they've come from an abusive situation. And I don't know how to function other than to say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? So, you know, we're offering them the video for their gala, which is coming up in March of this year. And I'm really proud to do that. You know, it's not ever planned as a mindful looking at my accounts and seeing what I can afford, because unfortunately, that's never really my focus, but I'm just doing it and making it work. And I never ask my team to offer their time. I would never do that. So I make sure that they get paid, and I offer my own time and I pay my team, and that's fine. I'm very happy to do it. I'm proud to tell these stories. They are so important. And I want for these organizations that are so fundamental to our community to thrive. If I can support them, I will. So, you know, as a standard, I offer a 20% discount to my nonprofit clients. So I'm always trying to make myself affordable. I always say to nonprofit people that I meet in the community, let's just at least have a conversation. You know, a conversation costs nothing, and let me see what I can do for you. I try and make it as affordable as I possibly can, because I want to help them. And around that, you know, we do our very, very best to, as I say, use what we have at our fingertips to tell their stories.
What would you say to other business owners who are maybe grappling with the idea that they couldn't afford to do community partnerships, or, you know, make the case, how is it good for their business?
Yeah, I think there's different ways to get your rewards. So, you know, Bridges are generous enough to, you know, see what I'm sponsoring for them and offer me a sponsorship at their event. So when the video plays, my logo will be at the end of it. You'll see the Striking Media logo. I will be in their publicity on their social media. So it will help the Striking Media name to get out there, which I hope will draw eyes to who we are and what we're doing. So there are ways to get rewards that are not financial, which they can give to us and doesn't cost them anything. So I think you have to be creative and imaginative in how you can get your rewards so it is mutually beneficial. You know, I've learned to do that, because I know they're very willing. They don't mind if my logo is at the end. It doesn't bother them at all. So I'd say just have a conversation and just be thoughtful about how you can, you know, how you can approach it and still give back. And everybody's got different means depending on the size of their team and, you know, what their team would be interested in engaging in. I know bigger companies sometimes ask their employees, what are the causes that you care about? I mean, Striking Media is still at a size where really it's about, you know, my chosen causes. But, you know, I know other videographers that have different causes that they're engaged in, perhaps an issue that concerns one of their children. And I will say to them, you know, if I can help you, I will, because I just believe we all should be lifting each other up.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So before we close out here, what are you excited about? What's on the horizon for you and Striking Media that's got you excited?
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't think of one project at this point in time. Well, I mean, literally on a granular level, right now I'm working on the Bridges story. Like we filmed on Monday. I've just been logging the interview with their participant, and I'm really excited about pulling her story together because it's really powerful. So that's like very granular. On the bigger scale, just the opportunities that are going to come our way, you know, the storytelling, the new people I get to meet. It's really not about the travel. You know, we might be going to Michigan. We might get more executive trips, but it's not really the travel. It's all about the people. It's about the people that are brave enough to share their story and that I get the chance to ask those questions. Like that for me is a really good day when I am lucky enough to be in front of someone who is brave enough to tell their story. And I just think that is a position of privilege to be in. Mm-hmm. So that's what excites me, the people that will cross my path, who I can hopefully have a positive impact on them and the organization that they're representing.
That's fantastic. So Helen, what are you reading or watching right now? Anything good to share?
I am reading, or I just finished reading, a memoir by Richard E. Grant, who is an actor that I've loved for years since first watching With Nell and I. And he's written this really beautiful memoir. Some of it's quite harrowing because it follows the period of time that his wife is dying. And she tells him to find a pocket full of happiness in every day. He tells the story interspersed with going to the Oscars and filming different films he's making. So he's having these kind of crazy peaks of joy in amongst the greatest despair as he's losing his life partner. So it's very engaging and moving and humbling, really, to hear that kind of the pitch and the tone changes in every chapter as he is trying to get his head around the fact that he's losing the love of his life. And then at the Oscars 2 days later, I mean, it's quite crazy. But he comes across, and I've always thought him to be a very genuine human being, a very humble despite his great success and holding on to the things that are truly important in life. So it was a book I just picked up at the library because I saw his face on the cover and I thought he's generally a great source of entertainment. It was more wistful than I had anticipated, but it was a good read.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your striking media story and giving us a little more insight into your small business and you as an entrepreneur. It's been a lot of fun, Helen.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer. I feel very honored that you asked me. I really do appreciate it.
Wonderful. And for our listeners, check out the show notes on arlingtonstrategy.com for all the links to how to find Helen, how to find Striking Media, and for a link to the book she just mentioned. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The M Word. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Subscribe and never miss a podcast. Visit arlingtonstrategy.com for more. The M Word is an Arlington Strategy production hosted by Jennifer Mulchandani. Our theme music is by Mucci. Graphic design by Kayla Fagan and Emily Rare. Sound engineering and editing by Winston Turner.